American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, here live with you on this Monday, 21st of February, 2011. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you had a productive and happy little restful weekend. I sure as heck didn't. The honey-do list got extremely long. You know, I was out murdering spiders by the thousands. Wonder if PETA gets a hold of this. They're going to tack my little nasty soul to the nearest barn door. You know, don't think they cover spiders? Oh, good. Ron McDonald, where art thou?
And John, besides having a bad weekend.
I just feel so guilty because I murdered thousands of spiders. But spring spring has sprung down here in Texas, man, and, you know, they didn't get out of my way. So I mowed them
over
a lawnmower.
Oh, is that a yearly thing? Or, I mean, it happens every spring?
Well, I didn't notice I killed as many as I did last year. Only my wife pointed it out this year.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm feeling,
murderer.
I'm feeling guilty because I feel no guilt.
Murderer. Well, you know, what can you do?
I'm telling
when the varmints come in, you have to defend.
It's therapy. You know, cutting my own grass and edging the lawn and, you know, doing my part in the little community to, you know, uphold the property values. Well, the banks are out there destroying them. We have a competition every year. The guy across the street on the other corner, he's a cop, sheriff's deputy with Washtenaw County deputy. Or I'm sorry, let me correct that, Travis County. And, you know, he gets out there and does his thing, and then he looks and sees what I'm doing. You know, it's a manly thing. It's kind of like that rake-waving thing, I guess. I don't know. But at any rate, we got some of the best lawns in the neighborhood. I enjoy doing it. It's therapy for me. You know?
Yeah, well, it's probably one of the most creative things a man can do is see something raised from the earth. You know, that I enjoy it myself.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
As soon as I find a market for grass, then I'll be in, then, I guess. Yeah.
Now, I was into gardening even as a kid. I thought that was godliness. When you could see something grow and, you know, I had a friend that once told me, hey, Ron, come take a look at this. Look what I've done. Look what I grew. And I've often asked him, well, what role did God play in it? You know, all we are, we can attend these things. We can water them and keep them alive, but we don't understand life in its smallest degree. I mean, it everything's a miracle today.
Yeah.
On that aspect.
Yeah. By the way, have you ever heard of Dr. Frederick D. Graves?
Sounds very familiar.
Jurisdictionary?
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Just had an interesting conversation with this man. He's thinking about coming on the air. He says, but you know what? He says, people that don't want to have driver's licenses, I can't help them with that. Very, very interesting conversation. I'll tell you a little bit more about it on the other side of the break. Everybody hang on.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held, but a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We are back. At any rate, Ron McDonald, I'm thinking about, he said, you know, there's a problem out there that people do not understand what this court system is all about. And he said, you know, if you know how to go in and argue a case, if you know what a judge knows about the law, he says, first of all, you got to understand you're walking into an adversary situation. They're going to get you one way or another, hook or by crook. He said there's a lot of criminality going on in that court. He says, but the problem is that he says we've got lawyers, prosecutors and defense lawyers that, well, either A, are not very good at what they do, or B, you don't know what they're doing, so you don't know how to check them. Hold on one second. You don't know how to check them or to maybe be of, if you're going to hire a mouthpiece, how to keep your lawyer on the right track. So I'm thinking about this, and I talked to him for about a half hour. He said, look, if people understand what's going on in these courts, he says, you can beat them at their own game. Now, what a lot of people will do, they'll get in their proverbials in a ringer, they'll go out there, they'll hire a lawyer, then they're not happy the way the case ends up because the lawyer was a schlup, or he owed the prosecutor a favor, or whatever the case may be. He said, most people, though, are lazy. They don't want to learn the law and how to defend themselves against these creatures. And he said it'll happen to them time and time and time and time again, over and over and over again. And of course, I chimed in with the, I said, you know, the kind of law has kind of changed a little bit, hasn't it? You know, I said, I can't go into one of these administrative courts and stand on my constitutional rights. The judge will look at me and say, I can't hear that. And he won't be lying. I mean, he literally, it's like the speak no evil, hear no evil, see no evil. I can't do any of that. I can't hear it, I can't see it, can't touch it, can't speak about it. Can't even look at it. That's not what we're about. We're here for the codified and the statutory and the this and the that and yeah. Well, but what do you do in a case like that? If you don't have the wherewithal to go in and beat them from a common law perspective, which a lot of people have fallen right onto their face, well, better than that, at Mach 3 into a brick wall with their hair on fire. Puts out the fire, but there ain't much left of you. So I'm playing around with the idea of putting this guy on the network. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, first of all, I'm about solutions. If somebody has a problem, I like to see people solve their problems. I can't directly get involved in solving their problems for them, but I would like to send them to a place that they can be better off than they were before they got there, if you know what I mean. So I'm thinking about putting this guy on. I'm going to have some further conversation with him. But, you know, he says, you know, I don't want to do a show. Somebody calls me up and wants me to defend them against the state and the reasons why I don't want to have a driver's license. You know, I'm not going to do that. There are bigger fish to fry out there. There's a lot of criminality going on in the court system. There's a lot of crooked judges. There's a lot of crooked lawyers. There's a lot of sloughs that people go out and hire for a couple, $200, $300, $400 an hour that know about as much as about procedure and justice as an aardvark does. So, I don't know. What's your thoughts on that one?
Well, I've heard nothing but good about jurisdictionary, and they really do teach the fundamentals of procedures in court, how to respond to a complaint, you know, the answer, everything else. I fault them. I researched their information. I didn't see one injunction in there, so I don't think they don't have everything down, but they certainly are a criteria or a lesson for the average person that knows diddly squat about law to take and learn. You'll be able to defend yourself. But, you know, I always promote, and on another radio station, we talk about jurisdictionary being the second issue after a Public Records Act. You know, after you thoroughly get that individual to admit and confess, then you go in and you do your jurisdictionary, and you'll already have won your case. You win your case before you go to trial, and that's the point there.
Well, and what he does, I mean, I'm reading off his website, forms for civil cases, simplified forms for pleadings, motions, and discovery, how to win, advanced lawsuit procedure, and case-winning pro se tactics, evidence made easy, the rules of evidence simplified, motions and hearings, how to move the court to get what you want, causes of action, essential keys to winning in court, he says now includes injunctions, courtroom objections.
Oh, there it is. They updated it.
Yeah, how to preserve a winning record for appeal. A lot of people don't understand this. Arch McCall, that defended Dick Simcannon in the now infamous case here that took place up in Fort Worth, Texas. Dick Simcannon owned Aero Plastics, an injection molding company. He decided he wasn't going to take taxes out for the IRS. He was going to be a tax collector. But he did advise his employees, look, if you need to file with the IRS, you go do it. If your conscience tells you to do that, or the IRS is the boogeyman and they're going to crawl under your bed at night and pop out in the middle of the night when, you know, you're sleeping, well, then go talk to the IRS. He said, but look, I'm not going to become a tax collector. He didn't advise people to cheat on their taxes or whatever. He said, I'm going to let you handle that as your responsibility with the IRS if you think you have to. Well, we all know what happened. The guy got 7 years in jail, and when they released him, what I did find out was that he wasn't exactly following his parole, and they wanted him to jump through some hoops, and he said, I'm not going to do it. Well, they said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to throw you back in jail for another 7 years. And then consequently, Mr. Simcannon died in jail, lost his business, the whole nine yards. And I remember talking to Arch McCall, the night before this case. I was up there for the entire case. I was called as a character witness. And I bet you've never seen a character witness on the stand for like 30 seconds or less. But I was. I just got up out of the stand, looked at the jury, shrugged my shoulders as if to say, what the hell was that all about? But I told McCall, I said, look, I said, I know this much. I said, this judge has already been, he should recuse himself from this case, but they stacked the deck. They had the IRS people in there. They had a Department of Justice people in there. There was Arch McCall and Dick Simcannon. And every time that Arch McCall tried to bring up a point of order or make an objection, he was sat on real hard. And I told him the night before the trial, I said, you get as many objections in there and on record why you're objecting, because if this goes to appeal, you don't win this round, you better have something that you can appeal on, of which these federal courts aren't real big on appeals anyhow. They'll nitpick you to death. And I said, you've got to have some substantive stuff on record in order to win an appeal. Well, all said and done, at the end of the day, the guy's dead, and he wasted about 8 years of his life. I mean, they just totally devastated him. Because here was a guy that looked into it and said, something ain't right. I'm going to take the responsibility of doing something. Well, they smelled something there. The guy had a business. He had some influence. He had been all over everybody's radio program. Hell, they were doing national TV over this guy and a group of other people. And this is a sad state of affairs. So I wonder if Arch McCall himself knew courtroom objections and, you know, how to build a record for appeal. Other things, affirmative defenses, how defendants defend aggressively, the language of law, understanding legalese and the legal philosophy, how to be heard, a simplified overview of lawsuit procedure, common law maxims, self-evident power to control judges and lawyers. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know what? I think this might be really, really beneficial to a lot of people. A lot of people that, I don't want to say that people are lazy, but they have limited time. They don't want to become lawyers themselves. You can learn about the law, you can teach yourself about the law, but you're never given that little bar card unless you want to go pay them tens of thousands of dollars and then get into the control game. You don't have to be a lawyer to defend yourself in court any more than judges have to be lawyers. Never had to be, but they're going to be there to convince you that, well, we're qualified. We've got the bar stamp of approval. Well, the hell with all that. You know, I'm interested in one thing. When the state comes after me, I want to know what they got, and I want to know how to beat them. And I said, it's going to be a long time before we have common law courts back in this country that stand on the principles of the Constitution, and an individual can walk into a courtroom, stand on his Constitution. You want to know about your standing? There's a biggie. But what'd they do? They kicked that little bucket out from under you years ago. They put the administrative courts up there, as I said earlier, like the three monkeys. Hear, see, and, you know, do no evil. And you walk into their administrative court, you got to get your administrative tap shoes on, because you ain't going to be able to argue your constitutional rights. Maybe after review, maybe after it goes to the United States Supreme Court. Maybe. Maybe not.
See, the Supreme Court will not handle any writ of certiorari that deals with administrative law. It's not within their jurisdiction. And most people, that's the only case they'll bring to the majority of them are administrative procedures acts. And they get turned down left and right, and they don't understand the principle that the Supreme Court's will not hear that type of case. It's just not within their jurisdiction. But, you know, I would never suggest to anyone not to pay their taxes. If you're going to fight, pay your taxes, but first, get all your property out of your name. Get everything out of your name. Do it legally. And this way, when they come down on you, and they will, if you don't pay your taxes, you'll be safe with your property.
All right. We'll take the break here. We'll be back. 800-313-9443. If you want to chime in on today's program. We've got some stuff here I want to cover. We'll do that right after a little bit of this.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up," protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Ron, you may have heard this is pretty shocking stuff. There's a judge up there in Pennsylvania. He just got found guilty of racketeering. And what this guy... Oh. Yeah, you heard about it?
Yes, I have.
Now, this former juvenile court judge who sent a load of children to detention centers was convicted Friday of racketeering and taking over $1 million in kickbacks from the builder of the for-profit lockups. And what prosecutors said was a kids-for-cash scheme that ranks among the biggest courtroom frauds in U.S. history. Now, this is a very interesting case. There was a woman that this guy was being interviewed, by the press. And it wasn't pretty. A former juvenile court judge who sent large numbers of children to detention centers was convicted Friday for taking, as I said, $1 million in kickback from the builder for profit lockups. Now, and what prosecutors said was kid for cash game. Former Luzerne County Judge Mark Clara Clavarella left the bench in disgrace 2 years ago after he and a second judge, Michael Conahan, was accused of using juvenile delinquents as pawns in a plot to get rich. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court has dismissed 4,000 juvenile convictions issued by this Clara Rella, saying the sentencing or sentenced young offenders without regard for their constitutional rights. Federal prosecutors accused this guy and the other judge of taking more than $2 million in bribes from the builder of the Pennsylvania Child Care and Western Pennsylvania Child Care Detention Centers and extorting hundreds of thousands of dollars from the facility's co-owners. A federal judge, or jury rather, in Scranton convicted Clavarella of 12 counts, including racketeering, money laundering, conspiracy, but acquitted him of 27 counts, including extortion. He's likely to get a prison sentence of more than 12 years. Now, the really bad thing about this is, you know, there were kids that were locked up as young as 10 years old. And what's really sad about this is that one of these kids, 10 years old, committed suicide. And I'm looking for the clips here. A lot of these people were just miffed off. One lady got in his face, and let me see if I can come up with the Kids for Cash clips here. Okay, here we go. And I gotta go through the ABC News thing. Okay, here it comes. All right. This has got to load up. Get ready to run this. I got to let their 30... Oh, hi, Mike. I look up and I got a brand new board up sitting in front of me. Oh, it is 4:30, isn't it? Are you late? Oh, you're late. Well, lucky you had your prior shift that could cover for you, huh? Yeah. You have anything to do with golfing? Good. His other job is... What do you do with the other place here? Oh, outside services. Here we go. Hey, right, ready? Let me turn this up a little bit so I can hear what the heck's going on.
In Pennsylvania could face more than 10 years in prison after being convicted in a Kids for Cash scheme. Prosecutors say he used children as pawns, locking them up unjustly in a plot to get rich. Our Lindsay Davis has more.
Do you remember me? Do you remember me? Do you remember my son? An all-star wrestler? He's gone! He's gone!
This mother's rage and fury greeted former Judge Mark Civarella as he exited court Friday. Civarella sent Sandy Fonzo's son to juvenile detention for possession of drug paraphernalia. Years later, he killed himself.
Prosecutors say Civarella was involved in a Kids for Cash scandal. He's accused of taking $1 million in exchange for putting juvenile defendants into private detention centers, though that's something he denies to this day.
Absolutely, never took a dime to send a kid anywhere. If that was the case, that would have been in this trial.
In one reported case, he sentenced a child to 2 years for joyriding in his mom's car. Some of the kids he ordered locked up were as young as 10. In 2009, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court dismissed 4,000 cases Civarella handled, saying they had no confidence in his rulings. On Friday, he was found guilty of 12 of 39 charges, including racketeering, money laundering, and conspiracy, but was not charged with extortion.
No, you know what he told everybody in court? They need to be held accountable for their actions. You need to be.
Civarella remains free at this time, but he's expected to get a minimum prison sentence of 12 years behind bars. Sandy Fonzo doesn't consider that justice. For Good Morning America, Lindsay Davis, ABC News.
The woman that you heard yelling in that was the mother of the 10-year-old that killed himself. Now, yeah. Now, I never took a dime. Well, then what the hell did you just get convicted of? Why did the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court overturn 4,000 of your convictions? If you were just a righteous guy, you and your partner there, and, well, you just wanted to see these kids straighten around. I mean, here is a case, Ron, of the state coming in. This guy represented the state in this juvenile court crap. And, well, he's doing it for the betterment of society and not the enrichment of myself. We'll break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
And here is the specific segment on this 12-year-old that spent 2 years in this detention facility. They were getting kickbacks off of it, and it was his mama's car. I remember doing that. My mother had a 1960 Thunderbird with a 352 high-performance engine in it, and I took it out on the turnpike. And it, my brother-in-law said it wouldn't do 125 mile an hour. Yeah, it did. But my mother didn't call the cops on me. But at any rate, here's the 12-year-old, the facts in the case. The 12-year-old spent 2 years in jail.
I'm Elizabeth Vargas, and this is 2020 in Touch. Here's what we're working on for this week's program.
I went to court, and I never came home.
I was very surprised when I was being led out of the room in shackles.
They put my hands behind my back, handcuffed me, and took me right away.
Kids locked up and taken from their parents on their first, even minor, offense.
I was only in front of the judge for not even 4 minutes. He barely even looked at me. He was just looking at paperwork on his desk.
Rapid fire justice.
And my son was standing next to me. When I turned around, he was gone. He was already in handcuffs and shackles at the back of the room.
Parent after parent in this one Pennsylvania courtroom, stunned, mystified by what they witnessed.
I was helpless, absolutely helpless. And to this day, I could still cry over it.
A mystery in Luzerne County, the heart of Pennsylvania's struggling coal country. Why were so many kids sent to see juvenile judge Mark Chivarella in his Wilkes-Barre courtroom, getting sent directly to jail, and in such a rush?
I was 12 years old when I got locked up. I had no clue what to say when he asked me, how do I plead?
Eric Stefanski's offense? He went joyriding with his mom's car and ran over a barrier, smashing the undercarriage. No one was hurt, not even Eric. But in order to get her insurance to pay for the damage, Mom had to file a police report. The next stop, Judge Chivarella.
Do you remember yourself standing in front of him?
He read me my charges and said, how do you plead? I didn't know what to say, so I looked at my mom and I said, guilty.
At 12 years old, Eric was locked up for 2 years.
How many questions did they ask you or him about his record?
Oh, none. None about his record. None about nothing to do with his life. None.
And what did your attorney say?
I didn't have one.
I did not think it was necessary. His first offense, he's so young, I just didn't think that was necessary.
We hope you'll watch 2020 on the air.
Yeah. Any rate, gives you an idea about this. I mean, I went up in front of the juvie judge a few times. But you know what? It was pre-sentence investigation, probation reports, and all that other stuff. I mean, my God. Some of these people didn't even think they needed a lawyer for their minor that they're in charge of. So what do you do, Ron, when you walk into a court and boom, boom, your kid's gone and you're standing there and you don't know what the heck just happened?
Well, I know what I would do. But, you know, there's a lot of, again, you know, my type of law goes outside the box. John, I've won all my cases, but I've never dealt under the statute. I don't bring the merits of the case into the action. As soon as you bring the merits, the facts of the case in, you're going to lose. You're just going to lose. You have to argue the jurisdiction and the law of the case. And traceable law back to the consent of the people is very rarely traceable. So you have them there. The DMV, all your traffic things. I think I mentioned once before, in 1933 it was passed or 1934 it was passed in California, and it would presume that everyone who had an automobile or any motor vehicle had to have a driver's license. However, 2 weeks later, they passed another statute saying that it did not pertain to people on the highway with their own goods and for their own reasons and their own employees.
So what?
That's still in the books.
Okay, so what happened, Ron McDonald? And I could see why they did this, because, first of all, we were coming into a litigious age, okay? Lawyers. Some people called them ambulance chasers, you know, people that wanted to practice law. They graduated from law school. What kind of law are you going to do? You're going to do contract law? You're going to be, what, prosecution? You're going to go into, you know, whatever. And I've made this comment on the air before. I've got old pictures of when Austin, Texas was just building its state capitol, and they had all the buggies and, you know, the horsies tied up to the hitching post. And I looked very closely at those pictures. I didn't see any license plates on any of these horses but toots. And I understand the way they approached this was, well, we had motor vehicles, as they like to call them, and people that were involved in commerce, well, there were certain liabilities. I mean, if I'm sitting here looking at a big moving van, a flower moving van, hooked up to one of these, you know, big over-the-road vehicles, sleeper things on it, damn thing's got to be 40 foot long itself. So there was a certain liability. If you had one of your drivers go out there and run somebody over, well, there had to be insurance. Well, they figured out that, wait a minute, we've got to have something qualifying here to make sure that these people that are driving these rigs around or people engaged in commerce knew what they were doing. So that's why the driver's licenses started. It was for commerce purposes. So, and I love this, it happens in California. I've always said, watch California, whatever that does, it'll infect the rest of the country. So how is it that they come out with this driver license for people engaged in commerce and then come up in California and say 2 weeks later that, well, this doesn't involve the common man and the goods he's carrying and for private conveyance and all that other stuff upon said public highways, how the hell did that part of it get left out?
Well, you know, they was so well hidden. I just happened to investigate the statutes at large of California on the DMV and how, you know, the historical researching of that action or that statute, and I came across that by luck. And it was 2 weeks later that it had it in there. So what they did is they presented it as though that did not exist. I don't know how many people may know about that statute that says that you don't need a driver's license. But today, if I were on the opposing party, I would argue that everyone's in commerce. Therefore, you'd need to be licensed. You need to be licensed in the type of work. You need to be licensed in everything you do, including getting married. You need all sorts of credentials because you belong to the state. What can I say, John?
Well, and that in itself, that's really at the crux of all this, is who are you and how does the state view you? Are you an asset of them? I told this story last week, but I'll repeat it for you because, well, one of the friends that I have here that's involved with small business, I belong to NFIB, a National Federation of Independent Businesses. They've got 50,000 business owners alone here in Texas. They've got more than a million countrywide, I mean, in every state of the union. Well, this guy that I became friends with, his name's Nolan Owens, and he's the territory manager. Well, there's only one territory, and the entire state is his. But he's got bunches of people in different areas that work on different things, and he kind of oversees what they're doing and coordinates and does all this other stuff. He told me something rather shocking. We had lunch Friday, and he said, look, and let me just start out by saying, if you didn't hear last Friday's program, he's one of the good guys. He knows exactly what is going on. And he's in there right now working with businesses and the state legislature to dump property taxes here in Texas. Now, if you remember a couple of years ago, Texas made the headlines by them finding out that, well, signing school tax to your property tax is illegal and unconstitutional. They had to do away with it. Well, now they're going after the property tax thing. But he told me something very interesting, Ron. He said, you know, he says, I heard you guys talking about these bonds and everything else that's floated on you. He said, so I started to investigate what they had on me. He said, so far, I've uncovered that they've got me bonded and slaved out. And he said, I'm not even done yet. He said, I don't even know if I'm halfway through it. He says, they've got me down on paper of being worth to somebody $930 million. I about fell off my chair. And he said, but I'm not done yet. He said, I'm going to ferret this whole thing out. And when I get done, he says, I'll report to you what I've found. But here again, you are an asset of the state, your earning power, whatever you're involved in, you know, how many different ways are they cashing in on you? That's what he's determining right now. And this is one guy that you don't want to screw with because he's one of these people, Ron McDonald, that he's an affable and very friendly man. He's very straightforward. But when he gets that look in his eye, his head cants about 2 degrees down, and those eyes turn from a little tweeting parakeet to a damn vulture. You know, he's got, I admire the man because he's got fire. He's got conviction, and he's got intelligence, and he's got a lot of fire. And he's as sick as everybody else is about the state and how they view their people. And this crap has got to stop because all of what it's being done under, guess what? Commerce. It's just the corporation just commencing to commerce everybody and pull everybody into this thing. He said that this is going to come to an end. And I do not doubt the man. I wouldn't take any bets against him.
Wow.
$930 million.
Jeez. Well, I must be worth about 3 cents, I think, on that situation.
Well, we're going to discover how they've got this guy bonded and what he's been pledged against and all that other stuff.
Well, you know, it does, I have to say, you know, most people, say that the certificate, birth certificate, isn't really, you know, what it is, but I've often said what certificate is defined at in law, or defined as in law, and that is, it is a debtor's instrument. And unless you own it, unless you're the one that's actually having the certificate and not a copy of it, whoever bears that, whoever owns that, is the owner of the commodity on the certificate. And that's sent to the Department of Commerce. That's a fact. You can't argue with facts. So are we? Do we own ourselves? Do we have our own right to exist, or is our right to exist by the state? Well, it's by the state.
Well, you know, and everybody was shocked to find out that, well, you know, what does the state claim that they're worth by way of titles of automobiles? You know, you get the certificate of title. The state holds the original or the original equipment manufacturer title. Are they claiming that as an asset? Yes, they are. That's why they give you the certificate of title, and that's only after you or get raped by the banker boys and paying all that money to go out there and have a driver's license and be subject to that contract with all of its little strings attached. You don't perform by that contract. Well, guess what? The state wades in and says, well, this is what you're going to do. You know, how is it they can take preemptive safety measures by making you wear safety belts or telling you you can't talk on a cell phone driving 100 yards through a school zone that you never see any kids? But if a cop sees you on a cell phone, you get a $200 fine. This is preemptive type of safety for people out there, but they don't realize that they've got you from taillight to headlight. They've got you, and it's because of that certified car. State owns it. You have to have the permission or the driver's license of the state in order to operate motor vehicle on public thoroughfare or highway, you know, and the interstates are owned by the feds. You know, I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. You know, most people just think that, well, I live my life, I go to work, I pay my taxes, you know, I put my kids through school, have a family, and work real hard, try to bring them up, put them through school, then I get old, and then I die, and then that's it. But they don't know what the state thinks of you and how they've classified you. They believe they own your butt.
Well, it's not only they believe it, John, they actually do. There's no doubt. And when you want concrete evidence of ownership of your vehicle, look on your pink slip or on your registration where it says owner. You'll see the seal of your state right there, and then your name goes above it. Well, or below it, let's put it that way. The true title will always be in the state. It's their property. And if you realize that the only way a man ever gets rights in this country is through property, he must own absolutely property. Well, point out there's one person in this country that absolutely owns property. No one does. So he's not entitled to any inalienable rights or unalienable rights. He's not entitled to basically any defense in a court of law. You're brought in there, you're tried under administrative law, and it's up to the judge whether you win or lose.
And and there's little loopholes. You may have made, maybe you paid for your house and your property in cash. Maybe you got your deed locked up in your little home safe, you know, little safes that are fireproof that your house can burn down, but the paperwork still remains. Say that you paid that house off in cash. Say that you paid the property off in cash. Try not paying your city taxes, or try not paying your property tax. Refuse to the courts that you're going to pay that, and let's see how long you are going to be a quote-unquote property owner.
And you know, the book that I wrote has one case in it where the Supreme Court of the United States, as well as the district courts, could not identify the lawful money of accounts of the United States, that lawful coin, which is enacted into a coin by the Congress of the United States. And also there's a document in there from the Franchise Tax Board saying when a gold coin, a lawful coin, was issued to pay a debt, they turned it back saying it was not a financial document acceptable by the Franchise Tax Board. Although we
you winked out
laws in this country that says the money of accounts.
Hold on, you winked out on me a second there. Repeat what you just said.
Well, we received when we paid off a tax debt through the Franchise Tax Board with a gold coin, a lawful coin under the Mint Act and under enumerated power of Congress, it was returned by the Franchise Tax Board saying it was not an acceptable financial document.
Okay, when you hear that bump, you got about 15 seconds, but that's close enough. We'll take the break here. 800-313-9443. I want to get into a little bit today also about what's happening up there in Wisconsin. And the Republican governor is standing fast, and it's making the teachers' union really, really angry.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what this is. The Constitution was about.
All right, we are back. Before I go to your calls here, is okay. Virginia is taking another step closer to minting their own gold, silver, and platinum coins. Now, they're also threatening with their own state bank. Uh-oh. Competition to the Fed Reserve. Watch out. From his Prince William County Republican just won, might win the toss when it comes to his bill to mint Virginia coins. The Senate General Laws Committee on Wednesday unanimously passed House Bill 2236, Marshall's bid to authorize the governor to direct the state treasurer to mint gold, platinum, and silver coins for commemorative use that bear the seal of the Commonwealth. Marshall said his bill had been mischaracterized in an attempt to mint a separate currency for Virginia, bringing criticism that he was trying to resurrect the Confederacy or an alternative to the Fed Reserve Bank. Well, this is one way to do it, but another way to do it would be to do the state banks. If it weren't legal to do, now the Bank of North Dakota can't mint its own coins, but they've been in business for almost nigh on 100 years, and that's a state that has no budget deficits, nobody's getting laid off, the unemployment rate is below 4%, on and on it goes. In any rate, I find that very fascinating. Lee in Georgia. Hello, Lee.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Talking about the birth certificate and who owns what, and I think you know what I'm going to say. I think you kind of know me a little bit, John.
Surprise me.
I know what Universal Commercial Code and all that says, and I know what the birth certificate is. I used to be a truck driver, and I used to work the docks. I know what Bill of Ladens are. I know what cargo manifests, and I know all about birthing, and I know what all that says, but I challenge anyone who is deluded by the concept that they own my physical body. Now, I don't know what they might think I'm worth, but if they think they own me, I've got a big set of chains here and some locks, and I've got the keys, and they're more than welcome to come and try to put them on me. I keep chains and locks right next to the door for that purpose. I want them to come and put a chain on me. If they think they own me, I want them to try it. But they better bring a body bag, because they'll be carting a dead body out of here.
Well, but they're not opposed to that. For them, it's target practice.
Yeah, but they won't own a living being, will they?
No.
They'll get absolutely no use out of me.
No, they'll cash in on the bonds they've got on you.
Yeah.
I'm sure they can collect just as well off a dead man as they can a live one.
Yeah, but there's one problem about that. Does a dead horse serve you any purpose?
Well, I can... Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, the truth is, Lee, is that they do it by legal procedure. You don't even know it's happening. You know, when they abscond your car from the highway, they're telling you, without your knowledge, that you never owned it in the first place. Otherwise, you would have to go through a court of law and have it under due process for them to take your car.
Right.
See, everything is done through legal procedure. But I admire your backbone, and I wish all Americans had that.
Well, I've been pretty hardcore about this, and I was telling my niece about it yesterday, and she was jaw-dropped when I told her that the state owned her and her daughter.
Tell you what, everybody hang on a second here. Thank God for breaks, because half of my coffee just went down the front of my shirt. At any rate, 800-313-9443. We'll continue with the program after I clean myself up here, and your calls as well. Right after the top of the hour break. By the way, we got some screaming deals here on some silver. Notice what happened to gold and silver prices? Yeah, they went through the roof. Well, for you folks out there that missed the investment boat on gold, here's your chance for the silver. I'll tell you about that right after we take top of the hour break. I'm going to go clean myself up.
The next